Sister Girls, and I'm your host, Sister Girl Sonia. It's the 20th of June. Sorry, like a third of the way into summer already. I don't want to think about it. Actually, the other day I was sitting on my balcony. I was like, you know, fall's not that bad. So we're only in June already. I'm starting to kind of brace myself, you know. So the chat room is open. It's truthergirls.chatango.com. And I also did open the lines if anyone would like to call in. It's 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. And I will now be speaking to Vinny Eastwood, who's the host of the Vinny Eastwood Show on AFR. Also known as the lighter side of genocide. So welcome to the show, Vinny.
What up?
Yo, what's up? You don't sound Australian at all right now. You sound like you're from the east side.
Well, I've found out something interesting about the New Zealand accent, is that not only do we talk particularly fast, I'm actually trying to slow down my speech at this particular moment, but also we have a very malleable type of vocal cord structure, which allows New Zealanders to do impressions of virtually any other accent around. It's very strange.
Like,
some accents will be way down one end of the spectrum, and some accents will be way down the other end of the spectrum, and they won't be able to. They'll be able to do impressions of certain things within their own groups. Like my friend Jono, for example, he's from Yorkshire in London. Oh, sorry, in England, which has its own specific accent. You know, people from Yorkshire sound a certain way, just like people from certain suburbs of London sound a certain way. And he can do amazing impressions of all these different accents and things that you'd find all around England, because he's kind of from that spectrum. But you try to get him to do an American accent, and it's just terrible. Whereas I can do kind of both.
Let's hear you do an American accent.
Well, it kind of depends, you know.
Trying to
say the right thing when you're doing an American accent is actually quite difficult, because there's this this sort of long drawl, especially when it's Southern, you know?
No kidding. Y'all sound like a real meat-eating Texan to me. Why?
I did practice in juvie.
You went to juvie in the States?
Nah.
Sounds to me like you were. What were you doing in oh, you were out in juvie, down under in New Zealand with a bunch of what do you call those voice actor criminals that sideline as voice actors? Is that what you're saying, Sugar?
Well, actually, it was the guy from Police Academy who does all the sound effects. You know,
he was in jail with you. Who?
Yeah, he accidentally came to New Zealand. He boarded a plane in Southern California, trying to go to Oakland. You know, like up the way, out near San Francisco.
He did,
and unfortunately, there was a New Zealander who was doing the announcements, and he didn't pronounce Oakland, and he pronounced Auckland, which is the main city down here. So he accidentally got on the wrong plane, came down here, and they found some weed in his bag, and that's how we met.
Ah, Sugar Shack.
With him at juvie.
So that's how he got on the wrong plane. Woo, he must have. I bet he wasn't prepared for such a long ride all the way down under when he was expecting to go to Oakland. Oh, my.
He was actually quite impressed, because when he got to down under, he realized that we had no TSA down here, so he didn't get searched down under while he was down under. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you really don't have a TSA down in you're in New Zealand, right? Not actually Australia. So how's the airport security down there for real, though?
Well, it's great, because you go through, and we're getting ourselves some of them naked body scanners now.
Are you and really?
Yeah. A lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to their testicles. but they're quite lucky that they don't have to get groped just at this particular time. But the concern most people have about their privacy being violated like that is essentially to protect the children. And the children, I feel, are the nation's most important asset, because if you're basically making porno with kiddies on a daily basis, sitting there in a private room connected to the internet, it's quite disturbing, concerning, and various other adjectives that are not positive. And it shocks me to my core, essentially. And I have so much anger about this kind of violation that I just can't contain myself a lot of the time. And I find myself, just packing a little bit of heat when going into the airports, just to give them a little scare, you know.
You better watch out with that. You know what?
Well, a different type of heat to what you're thinking. I'm really fond of chili sauce. So what you do is you wear an adult diaper.
Uh oh.
Fill it with some real nasty chili sauce. You got to wear a plastic bag inside the plastic diaper as well, so you don't get no hot chili on your junk, as it were. The junky chunky chili. And when they come in and they notice that there's a big bulge and what have you, mm-hmm. they don't know what it is, and then they reach in, mm-hmm. and they kind of, and because they don't have to wear gloves or nothing, they get it all over their hands, and it doesn't matter how bad you wash off your hands with this chili sauce, if you touch your eye, you're going to go blind for about 12 minutes.
Well, that could be self-assault with a deadly weapon. Vinny, we have a caller. It's a rare occasion. I'm going to take this call. Johnny from Montreal. Hi, Johnny from Montreal. Welcome to the Truth or Girls. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. And I'm from Laval, actually.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks for what you're doing, basically. That's what I wanted to say. And thanks to Mr. Scumbaggery, also. I'm an avid listener. and your show last week, you touched on Black Salva.
Black Salve?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was bizarre. The timing was bizarre because I had a bump on my cheek, which I thought was a pimple. Tried to blow it out, didn't give. Became way bigger. So I did get some information on Black Salva and what hemp oil could do if it was a cancerous, and took an appointment this morning with a private dermatologist, but the bump did swell down a lot from last week to today, and the dermatologist had a problem with English a little bit.
Maybe it was just a boil or something, but at least you know that if somebody does say you have skin cancer, yeah, it could have been a boil, because the boil is like encapsulated, and if you interfere with it, it's like a little infection that's encapsulated. So if you interfere with it, it might swell up or like get worse. But at least you know that if you get something on your skin, that there's a hemp oil. You know, it's not the oil you buy at the supermarket; it's the cannabis oil, but it's illegal. But you can get Black Salve. That's another viable option, as long as you're careful with it. That's what I would do personally. So, you're not giving medical advice here, but I'm glad if you're able to go digging for some information, because it's something we brought up on the show, and if that's helpful to you.
Oh, very helpful, actually, and quite, it had a kind of a soothing effect to know that you can do something other than, you know, get radiation treatment or pills galore or whatever.
We do the opposite thing in general of what will make us healthy. Like, you know, when you're a kid or whatever, when you're trying to be taught how to survive in the world, I tell you, you know, don't touch that knife, it's a sharp object, or don't touch that substance or anything, it's poison, or don't go near that nuclear reactor, it'll kill you. And so, you know, you taught from a very young age to stay away from dangerous toxins and drugs and to stay away from sharp objects and to stay away from radiation. And yet, what are the only three things that doctors give you now for anything?
That poison, pretty much.
They either cut you or they poison you with drugs or they irradiate you. Like you're some kind of a Sephardic child. It's horrific. And people become surprised when the mainstream medical industry comes out and says, by its own word, you know, yep, we're the number one cause of death in America.
Oh, yeah, they are. I mean, they're right up there, and they've overtaken car accidents as leading cause of death. And those are only the declared deaths. So there's so many that are not even declared as being from pharmaceuticals.
And
you can imagine they're probably number one.
And how many of those car accidents were caused by people who are whacked out on back Prozac?
Yeah, more pharmaceuticals. Well, thank you for your call, Johnny. We're going into a break, and stay tuned, everyone. I'll be back with Vinny Eastwood on the Truth or Girls in a moment. And I see another call, too. I'm going to take that when we get back. Stay tuned. It's all right. truthorgirls.chatango.com, truthorgirls.chatango.com. And the caller line is also open. That's 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. And there is a call on the line. I'm going to take that in a moment. And I'm here talking to Vinny Eastwood, host of the Vinny Eastwood Show on AFR. So welcome back, Vinny.
I feel very nice. Welcome. And I was also talking to, Lynn Horowitz and Sherry Kane yesterday, digging out a lot of dirt on people, man. And it's just like, it's funny in this movement, if you go and attack other people's heroes kind of thing, you become the bad guy, even if you're simply trying to tell the truth, especially in the truth movement. Isn't that ironic?
Well, it's just like it with anything else. People have their ideas. I find that there's a lot of paranoia also, that it's like no matter what you say, somebody's suspicious of you, thinks you got paid to say that, or that you're some kind of shill, or you're deceiving people, or, you know, it's the same as anywhere. What were you talking about?
There was an incident with, they're basically suing Alex Jones, David Icke, and a few other high-level people in the truth movement kind of thing who have posted articles about them that have libel and slander. And then when they went to ask them to take them down, they refused.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? Oh, you can do that?
Oh, yeah.
You can sue somebody for that?
Well, if you libel somebody, if you tell lies about them, or if you publish lies about somebody on your website, you can be sued if you don't take it down.
Oh, really? Somebody's been doing that to me for a long time, claiming that I'm an actor, that I'm hired by, I'm not really sure who. I think actually now he's decided it's like I'm a member of the Greenberg family and that I also pose as Sarah Palin and Tina Fey and like that. It's just like a big deception, which is totally ridiculous. But it's pretty outrageous. And then he even recently falsely claimed copyright on one of my videos, which was absurd because the video, which was completely original, but contained some stills from my own videos, which he had been comparing to pictures of celebrities. So I had like a picture of somebody from the news or a celebrity next to myself or one of my friends, like as he had accused us of being the same person. But he doesn't have copyright of those images. But he said it that my video contained artwork from his website, which is totally absurd. There was no artwork in it. But I didn't want to file a counterclaim because to do that on YouTube, I would have to give him my home address, my full name, my phone number. So I was like, wow, man, this guy's crazy. I don't want him like showing up at my door. Maybe he's going to publish my personal information. And you know what I mean? So it kind of put me in a bad position. But I was thinking like, I should sue this guy or something because it's really outrageous. Like he keeps going and going with this stuff, you know? So that's kind of good to hear.
If he's gang stalking you kind of thing. I mean, so you've got more than one person after you?
It's him, but like there's a lot of people who actually believe him, which is so outrageous. I mean, how could I be Tina Fey and Sarah Palin? And I mean, this is totally absurd. Like, anybody who knows
it doesn't make any sense in any space stretch of the imagination. Okay, like either you've been perfectly mind controlled under MK Ultra and had two clones of you made so that they can, you know, just take over your Tina Fey life or your Sarah Palin life. You know, while you're doing the campaigns, while you're doing the speeches, and hosting the radio show
at the same time. Yeah.
And writing 30 Rock and acting in it and producing it and doing all those things. That's too much work for one person at all.
It's not physically possible. Full stop.
It's not physically possible to do that kind of stuff.
Plus, I don't even look like
them. And more to the point, you don't look like them either. You know, you've got different cheekbone structure, different jawline, you've got different everything. I mean, basically, you wear glasses and you're a woman.
Yeah, that's about it. I know, but you know, at first I just thought like, oh, whatever, he's just some nut. I'm just going to blow it up. But then like so many people start to actually believe all this stuff that he's saying in general. And I keep getting comments on my own videos about me being this and that. It's just, you know, like I've got better things to worry about. But when he starts like taking down my videos, it's like he's kind of going too far. So I was thinking of getting a lawyer and suing him possibly, you know. I even told him that. I know he doesn't have any money. So, you know, plus he has a criminal record. So he's not liable to come up here. But who knows what kind of person he is. Anyway, so they're suing Alex Jones and David Icke?
Oh yeah,
but what did he say about them?
And True Arts and all this sort of stuff. Well, Alex Jones, do you remember Oxy Silver?
Yeah.
They used to advertise on the Alex Jones show.
Yeah.
Well, the Oxy Silver things, as far as I recall, I mean, you'd have to actually ask them yourselves to get the proper details and everything like that. And if you want to interview them, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to come on your show next week or whenever. He took down that advertisement and then put up another advertisement for a very, very similar product from a competing company, which didn't have that product on its product list originally. So it means that he gave them the formula, and it turns out that this company, which he was accepting money from, was owned by the U.S. Department of Defense.
What?
Uh-huh. So it's
okay,
like Alex Jones accepting funding from the Department of Defense, eh? How interesting.
Well, that's very strange. You know, he had a reporter contest, and I put up an entry because, like, well, everybody put up entries, but I didn't come near, you know, winning or anything like that. Which I was just kind of like, oh, that's just as well because, you know, I don't know if I would want to get involved with like a big thing. Anyway, I'm really happy like doing my radio show here and doing YouTube, and I like doing that. I really want to change it, so I just kind of entered it like for a lark, but. Yeah, and you hear stuff like this, it's like, whoa, you know, that's heavy. I don't know what happened, why he's getting cut funding from them. But that's very strange, you know, considering the stuff he talks about. So,
well, see, that's one
that's weird.
That's one thing that he's done that's actually documented and by Len and Sherry. And there's been other things that he's done to other people, which are pretty nasty as well. I mean, but in doing and saying all of this and talking about the truth as I do. I understand that simply by talking bad about Alex Jones or even reporting what other people have said about him, I lose listeners as a result because everybody loves him. And I actually kind of include myself to a degree in that thing as an Alex Jones fan myself, because I wouldn't be here or have even started being an activist if it wasn't for sitting there and listening to the Alex Jones show day after day, kind of thing. And you got to admit, he's a brilliant radio show host. I mean, is there something distinctly satisfying about tuning in every day and just hearing, "I have the documents. I'm going to kill the New World Order." You know, it's great. Gotta love it.
Yeah, well, I still listen to him too, you know, but that doesn't mean I'd want to work for him, you know. But you know what? We have this caller on the line, and I'm curious to see what they'd like to. Oh, not anymore. Okay, well, if they'd like to call back, feel free to call back. But you know what, Vinny, I wanted to bring something up, okay? It's back to this thing with the zombie attack, and I know it's got a lot of media attention, and I'm not trying to give it more hype, okay? But everybody knows the case of Rudy Eugene. He chewed off of Mr. Ronald Popo's face in Miami a few weeks ago, and at first it was all over the news that the guy was on bath salts. The cops were saying bath salts, it's like this crazy new drug, it's like super LSD, which isn't true. Even I fell for it at the beginning, but it's not what they said it was. Apparently bath salts, so-called bath salt, not the stuff you put in your bath. This is like a form of speed. It's called mephedrone pH.
Well, what was the guy's name again?
Rudy Eugene. That's the guy who did it. Okay, but they were
cheer up, Rudy Eugene. Eating your face off off your friend is mean for a zombie bath salt taker and a homecoming queen. I'm sorry,
it could hit song on his hands now. So, but they were saying that it was because of these bath salts, and like I say, even I thought, yeah, okay, maybe, you know, it's this crazy dangerous drug. But then I found out that bath salts have been around for a long time. They've actually been banned in the U.S. since last year. Use of bath salts has gone down. These crazy incidents. Like there were two other cases of people trying to bite someone or chew their face in the States, and one of them was in Florida, was in Louisiana, and then there was another one.
The government must have created this drug in a lab.
No, Vinny, wait, you got to hear where I'm going with this, okay? Because it's taken a really crazy turn. So it's all this stuff about, because bath salts is still legal in Canada, so. Now they're saying you got to ban the bath salts in Canada. Now it turns out, okay, well, it turns out the recent headline from CNN, test in cannibalism case, zombie-like attacker used pot, not bath salts. So they said there was no alcohol or drugs in the system except for cannabis, which could have been used at any time because, you know, it stays in your blood for a long time. Out goes the bath salts theory, but still they're trying to push the ban. There was a poll on one of our Canadian sites here that said, is the government moving too slowly in banning bath salts? A, yes, they should do it right away. B, no, they have to consider their decision carefully. Or C, I don't know. There was no D, bath salts shouldn't be banned at all. It's not going to solve anything. And in fact, giving it so much attention in the media, the article that I found this poll in was saying that
free advertising.
That's right. More and more kids are like going, and they're so uninformed that they're actually going to like the bath shop and asking. They're like, "Hey, you know, I want to get some of those bath salts to get you high, man." In the Bed Bath and Beyond or whatever, they're going to the pharmacy and they're looking for bath salts. But
like Epsom salts. Epsom salts like, are really, really toxic as well, man. Like, have you ever seen that movie 30 Days of Night? You know, the vampires and it's like in Darrow, Alaska, and they got all the snow everywhere. Well, it's filmed in New Zealand in the North Island where there's no snow whatsoever, and they use Epsom bath salts for all the snow on set. And they had like people like Josh Hartnett and all these actors and stuff in this bath salt, and they could have gone blind if they'd rubbed their eyes too much after touching it or anything like that. It's real dangerous stuff.
Oh, so, I put so it in my
kids,
bathroom.
If these kids start smoking it, that could be
sniffing
not good.
It. You sniff this stuff, but don't do it, though, people. But I put Epsom salts in the bath because it's good for like radiation detox. You mix it with baking soda; it sucks the radiation out of you. But you don't sniff it, you know. So this is the thing, though, Vinny. Okay, now they're admitting that he was not on bath salts, and the only thing in the system was pot. So what are they going to do now? Ban pot? Oh well, they already did that.
They've already done that.
He was
and
also
not to mention, I don't think pot is one of the. I mean, people do get hungry on pot. I'm not going to deny that. But hungry
maybe,
for human flesh?
It. No. It's a bad case of the munchies, maybe. Is that what they're going to tell us now?
Yeah, I mean, and he was in America and like telling me that there's a guy in America eating somebody's face because there's nothing else to eat. There's a drive through. There's like 18 drive throughs within a mile radius of him or something like that, well, guaranteed.
Times are tough. But, you know, he also was in possession of a Bible. So now that the bath salts are out, maybe they've already banned pot. Maybe the next thing they're going to do is ban the Bible. And what I'd really like to know is, what were those pills in his stomach? Because now they're talking about he wasn't on bath salts, he had pot in his system, but they're not mentioning the fact that there were pills in his stomach. They actually found entire pills. So they've run the tox screens and found out what was or was not in his blood. And how come they haven't identified those pills yet? That's what I'd like to know. Because it's a
new drug from a major pharmaceutical company that just spent about half a billion dollars doing the research and just got FDA approval from a panel that had 36 ex-employees of that same pharmaceutical company on the panel.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is it a pharmaceutical? Because if you look up, there was a list from the FDA of like the 10 drugs that are the most likely to cause violent behavior. This is crazy. This is so heavy. And a lot of them are things surprising, like oxycodone, Valium, a bunch of antidepressants, Adderall, whatever. And they increase your chance of being violent compared with another drug by several times. And the top of the list, okay, amphetamines was like 9 point, it increases your risk of violence by 9.6 times. And then above amphetamines, I mean, look, the bath salts are supposed to be like a kind of amphetamine. The guy went crazy. You know, they talk about meth. It's going to make you nuts, make you chew people up, whatever. Okay, above amphetamines was Paxil and Prozac. They're more likely to make you violent than amphetamine. And at the very, very top of the list, crap, what was the, I got to see, I know it was like, it made you 18 times more likely to be violent. I'm going to have to dig it up because I just, oh yes, here I wrote, Chantix, the anti-smoking drug. You know, I took Wellbutrin once.
You know what?
Smoking.
When I quit smoking, I did get a little bit angry, but not enough to actually, you know, hurt somebody.
No, but this is from the drug, like the nicotine. Not, you know, the nicotine Jones and having a Nick Fit, whatever.
I know. And have you found it's interesting the drugs that we take to keep us healthy are actually worse than the disease itself?
Oh, definitely. That's what we talk about all the time on here. But Chantix is twice as likely to make you violent as amphetamines. I mean, think about it. And I remember when my son was born and I wanted to quit smoking and I went to the doctor, like I was there with my husband. He wanted a patch or something like that. And I asked her about the patch, but I said, you know, a patch didn't agree with me. It made me feel really edgy and like freaking out. I couldn't tolerate the nicotine. She said, well, there's Chantix. And I said, oh, yeah, well, you know, is it safe? What are the side effects? She had no information, no pamphlet, no nothing, product insert. And I was still nursing my son at the time. And I said, well, is it safe to use when you're breastfeeding? And she's like, oh, well, I don't know. Well, good thing that she admitted she didn't know and she didn't give it to me because God knows what would have happened to my poor baby. But can you imagine twice as likely to make you violent as amphetamines? That's how dangerous these drugs are. So what was in Rudy Eugene's stomach? That's what I'd like to know. Because they must know by now, but they're not talking about it. Know what I'm saying?
Not.
Yeah. Oh, we're going into a break. Okay, well, yeah, stay tuned. I'll be back with Vinny Eastwood on The Truth of Girls in a moment.
hot shape I'm in. I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin.
Truth or Girls.
Don't ask me what I think of you.
And the chat room is open. That's truthorgirls.chatango.com. truthorgirls.chatango.com. And the caller line is open. It's 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. And I'm here talking to Vinny Eastwood, host of the Vinny Eastwood Show. So welcome back, Vinny.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
It is fun talking about bath salts and cannibalism and New World Order scumbaggery and Zoloft and Paxil and all of those other kind of reaction things, isn't it? It's very nice. I have, reservations about the topics as well, because you know what's interesting is that if you start dispensing medical advice, like if you tell somebody to come off one of these drugs, you know, I mean, that's basically the first thing that comes to mind, you know, it's like these drugs are really dangerous, get off them. If you get off these drugs, like cold turkey or something, it's even worse than continuing to take them. It's even worse than doubling or tripling your dose. It's even more likely to kill you if you come off them.
Oh, I know. They're very, very addictive. I know someone who's been on antidepressants for something like 15 years, and she actually had to go to detox to try to get off them, and it didn't work. And she's depressed all the time anyway. She's on those things. She can't get off them, but she's very mopey. So, you know, it doesn't seem to be working very well. But I'm not telling anyone what to do. I'm just warning them that, according to the FDA, you're twice as likely to, you know, freak out and kill somebody if you're taking Chantix than if you're taking amphetamines, which is speed. So people should just know this.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're already on the Chantix, then I don't know, you're screwed, basically. Sorry.
Well, that's exactly what your guest in the first hour kind of, we came to the point where you made that conclusion that you go and you search for the side effects of the drug, and it's all just basically propaganda. And then after you've fracked by the side effects of the drug, then you find those side effects were actually there the whole time. You just didn't know what to look for until you started experiencing those side effects. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I do. It's happened to me many times. You know, not only with that, but with like lots of things. Like the one time I cleaned pigeon poop off the balcony, it was only like that night when I started feeling sick. I was like, uh-oh. Maybe it was the pigeon poop. I looked it up, pigeon excrement illness, and sure enough, I came up with like cryptococcidiosis or something like that. I was like, oh no, what have I done? You know, it's like you just don't know sometimes. You don't know. So you do something stupid like clean pigeon poop without a mask and then you die. But lucky for me, it didn't turn out that way. But I took a lot of garlic. I don't know. Maybe that saved me.
See, and that's another thing. The most worst, horrible, disgusting, terrible, incurable diseases are pretty much all curable and not that difficult either. As long as you know what you're doing and you've got a decent naturopath and what have you. And it's like, well, hold on a second here. How exactly has everybody been convinced from day dot that when you get sick? Go to a doctor instead of knowing what the illness is and how to cure it yourself?
Well, people don't have to. Yeah, but we've been taught not to do that. They always say, don't play doctor, don't just Google things, go to the doctor. So, you know, we're, and sometimes you should. Like, you know what? Aaron had this thing in his ear that was itching him for months and months and months, and it looked like some kind of wart. I said, I don't know what's in your ear. I guess I should have put some colloidal silver in there, but he was using like a wart remover, and there was no wart, and it was just itching, and I kept telling him, just go to the doctor and have them tell you what it is, because they are actually good at diagnosing things. It's just that the drugs they give you then are so dangerous. Well, finally he went, and it was an ear infection. It was like some kind of bug or whatever that was in there, and he'd had so long, so he got some drops and then it went away, you know. So it's not like never ever go. I would say, you know, I would still go to get diagnosed, but I wouldn't take any pharmaceuticals. It's unlikely, very unlikely.
Well, it depends. I mean, like doctors are very good with pathology, which is good for diagnoses and things of that nature, but they're not good at anything else, right? They'll be good at diagnosing you. But in terms of curing you, you'd be best going to somebody else, right? And I've got a friend, David Holden. He's like the number one naturopath in New Zealand here. He's got this little machine. You put your finger on it, and it takes a reading of your blood, and it comes up with this huge print. It's instant, as opposed to like we're going to send your blood away for like 4 weeks to and charge $1,000 to the government to test your one blood sample or something like that. Just instantly, prints out every single vitamin and mineral that you're supposed to have in your body, and then compares the levels of your blood.
What's the machine called?
I have no idea.
I've heard of this before. There was a woman who was contacting me. She had a 3-year-old daughter, and I wonder how her daughter's doing now. I should get in touch with her. She had a 3-year-old who was just constantly sick, fevers, allergies, just all kinds of stuff. She was thinking, like, her daughter's not going to make it, you know? And it was at the point where she had, like, a special arrangement with the hospital that she could just, like, bring her in to the children's ward any time or something like that. She was always down at the ER, but they had developed something where she could, like, bypass waiting in the ER. But they never could do anything, and all they did every time was give her more antibiotics. Well, she finally went to the naturopath, and he plugged her into a machine. I think it's, like, what you're describing, and it really pinpointed what her problems were. She had allergies that had a lot to do with it, and also there was some emotional stuff, probably caused by having to go to the hospital so much. But she changed her diet. She figured out exactly what she was allergic to and what she was sensitive to, and she did some things like probiotics and I think the liposomal encapsulated vitamin C that the naturopath gave her, and her kids started to really recover. It was like healthy for the first time in, you know, years. I mean, she was only 3, yeah. But she'd been like this for a long time.
You'd be surprised what you can cure with vitamin C. For instance, snake bite.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting? Dengue fever with $10 of vitamin C.
What do you do with the vitamin C for a snake bite?
You take the vitamin C. You drink it. If it's lipospheric or HDIVC, which is high dose intravenous vitamin C.
Right.
So just put a little thing in your arm, little baggy sort of thing, kind of like a Thorazine drip.
Thorazine drip. Like a saline drip, maybe is a better example. Thorazine drip. Keep you quiet so you don't ask for the IV vitamin C. Yeah, good luck getting the doctor to give you IV vitamin C. I'm pretty sure if I went to the hospital with snake bite and I said, no, give me vitamin C, they probably wouldn't. You know, I actually bought one of those ultrasonic jewelry cleaners, a little tiny one, and I followed the instructions. I ground up, you know, I put the the other stuff that you're supposed to put with the vitamin C, something they put it in your food all the time. Anyway, I can't think of the name right now. So, these little lecithin granules, okay? So I put lecithin granules in the water and I ground it up in the blender. And then I did with the vitamin C, and I put it in, and I put it in the jewelry cleaner. It made no noise. No lights came on. I had no way of, it didn't beep, so I didn't know, was it even working? I couldn't tell. So I left it on for 6 minutes, like they said. I took it out, and I ate some of it. But I really don't know if I made it right. Like that's the problem with like DIY. You can't be sure, did I do it right? Or did I just take a big dose of liquid vitamin C, but it's not encapsulated? So I really don't know.
Oh, well, I say any vitamin C that you can get into your body is a good thing because you can't produce vitamin C and you can't die from it either. All right?
Yeah, but if you're just eating regular vitamin C, most of it won't be absorbed, and you eat too much of it, it'll give you the runs, whatever. It'll just go right through you. That's why
you can't die from it, though. Like they had
no, you can't die. But it won't cure you.
What's his name? Thomas Levy. He's basically the world's foremost authority on vitamin C. You're going to go see if you go search for him on YouTube, you'll see the thing that I made for him, about an hour and a half long presentation he did here in New Zealand. 70-year history of vitamin C. And the point I'm trying to make here is that they had a test subject group, okay? And over a period of a couple of years, they gave them like 100 pounds of vitamin C intravenously over a couple of years. No discernible side effects.
Oh, yeah, I know. And Linus Pauling, who was like the father of this whole vitamin C thing, he was using grams and grams and grams of it every day.
And you know what? He died at the age of like 92 of prostate cancer. So they said vitamin C causes cancer. I mean, that is the most ridiculous thing. The guy lived till he was in his 90s. And he also had treatment for the supposed prostate cancer. He had radiation treatment. So what caused him to die? Probably just the fact that he was 92 and, you know, you got to go sometimes. I'd say
I think it's probably the fact that you irradiated a 92-year-old person that has capacity of surviving such a fracking thing. What does radiation cause? I wonder! Is it cancer?
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, he had a lump in his prostate, so you dosed him up with radiation. He died, and you blame the vitamin C, and he's 92.
As opposed to... If he's taking a couple of grams of vitamin C a day, right? When you take an intravenous vitamin C, it's like 50 grams per dose.
Yeah, and it gets absorbed.
Like 3-4 times a day kind of thing. Like you're taking 200 grams of vitamin C and you're putting it directly into your bloodstream per day kind of thing. That's what high dose intravenous vitamin C is all about. And if you're taking it orally, there's not quite so strong an effect, but it'll still work anyway. Like lipospheric vitamin C is basically a real cheap and an effective option for pretty much any disease. Doesn't matter what you got.
Have you used it?
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Did you buy it on the internet or did you make your own?
No, I actually, I'm a broke-ass mofo, so buying things for the last 4 years of being an activist hasn't really been much of an option for me, but fortunately, because I do really good work for naturopathic doctors, herbalists, alternative therapists, and people from all over the basic spectrum, either in the health field or 9/11 or anything like that, I get given a whole lot of stuff by people, just out of the goodness of their heart kind of thing. And so somebody gave me me and my girlfriend, some lipospheric vitamin C, and I didn't take too much of it, but she did because she was kind of sick with the flu. And I've seen her sick with the flu before. It knocks her out for about a week. I think it was after about a day on the lipospheric vitamin C. She was feeling better. After 2 days, cured.
That's great. So, is it liquid? Was it liquid when you took it, or is it kind of goopy?
Goopy. And you just mix it with stuff.
Yeah, I wonder what they put in it, because I was expecting...
They come in little sachets?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it, and I wonder whether I thought the texture was supposed to change when you run it through the ultrasonic jewelry cleaner, but I swear, I don't know if it's because I got a cheap one at Zeller's or what, but I'm probably just going to return it, because I can't tell if it's doing anything. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of information on it that this really works. It's good. It's a good alternative to...
Well, the thing is, you don't have to go out and buy that thing. I mean, if you've got so much as a lemon tree in your backyard or something like that, do what the Māori in New Zealand do. Every single marae, which is the kind of big meeting places for Māori tribes and things like that here in New Zealand, every single one of them you go into, you see jugs of water with lemon in it, right? And... Mm-hmm. Turns out that lemon is an incredible body alkalizer. If you've got that in you, it doesn't matter what disease is ravaging your body. Alkalized bodies simply are incapable of tolerating disease. Okay, they will not be capable of taking root at all. And so that's basically the easiest thing to do. And I don't normally drink lemon and water unless I'm starting to feel a little bit sick or something like that. And then it's just like a whole lemon per glass of water, and you're drinking about 8 glasses of water a day. So you're drinking 8 lemons a day, and whatever it is that's ravaging your body, again, gone. I remember I went to sleep one night with the flu, and I woke up and I was better. You know, it's amazing what just having a little bit of sleep and a little bit of nutrition can do for you. And what are the two things that they deprive doctors of and don't teach them in medical school? They deprive them of sleep and they don't teach them about nutrition. How interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do deprive them of sleep. I think it's like part of the brainwashing process, because there's not really a reason why they have to have one doctor on call for 24 hours in the hospital. Like, why they can't just split the shift up with two people?
But it's called cult indoctrination. Essentially, if you want to mind control people, you have to force them into a herd mentality. Now, the way you do that is by a collective trauma-based mind control. So sleep deprivation, fear, collective punishments, or competition within the organization, things like that. These are all things that happen both in the indoctrination of police, doctors, lawyers, politicians, that kind of thing. All those real stressful and really hard jobs produce a certain mindset that is capable of tuning in and just going, you know what, I'm going to be a brutal sociopath who doesn't really care because I can't sleep, and who cares? You know, have you ever been grouchy and grumpy at somebody because you can't sleep? Well, imagine having not slept for the last 7 fracking years, how much of a psycho you'd become.
Oh, I know. It must be a very important part of the strategy, because all cults use that, and anything where they're trying to really indoctrinate people, they always overload them, deprive them of sleep, isolate them, and use all this kind of pressure. And the sleep, it just helps to break them down, lack of sleep. And we're going into a break again, but stay tuned. I'll be back with Vinnie Eastwood on The Truth or Girls in a moment. Sonia here, your host, and the chat room is open. That's truthergirls.chatango.com, truthergirls.chatango.com, and thanks for joining us in the chat room. And I'm here talking to Vinnie Eastwood, host of the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AFR. So welcome back, Vinnie. You've got some news you'd like to share with us.
I'm going to do exactly what the government did to the people of New Zealand. I'm going to commit blitzkrieg. Okay, so those of you who don't know what blitzkrieg is, it's a Nazi war tactic called the lightning war. Okay, that's the translation. So you come in real fast and you take people out in every single way, shape, and form that matters before they've even got time to react. Let me tell you what happened to New Zealand just in the last, 2 weeks, 1 month alone. Okay, we've signed the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is secret, completely sealed. Nobody in the entire country knows what's in it, and we're signed up to it for 50 years. Mm. Every single time anybody signs a trade deal, the World Trade Organization, which is globalist controlled, seizes control of your import-export, which makes your country completely interdependent. Interdependence means putting your country into dependence. So anytime we pass a law now that will prevent a major, massive foreign corporation from dumping poisons in our pristine rivers, selling dangerous products to our people, or putting dangerous additives or anything like that, if they do anything that's currently illegal under the law or anything that's bad or whatever, if the government strikes back against them, then it's illegal for the government to do that under the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Okay, this much we do know. And those major corporations will be able to sue our government for getting in the way of their business at the World Trade Organization and World Court, which only supports major corporations. So we'll lose every single time. Okay, so there's that. Also, the US Coast Guard are now going to be doing New Zealand's water security. John Key, our Prime Minister, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, ironically enough, has decided that now the Coast Guard are going to be patrolling New Zealand waters and enforcing our laws for us, or actually imposing their laws on us.
That's very
also
strange.
Our state assets. We have a whole bunch of different power companies like Mighty River Power and blah, 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 blah. They produce all the country's electricity, basically, and they run as a cartel. So now what they're doing is they're selling the cartel that was owned by the people that is required under the state enterprises bill to treat their employees very well and also keep their prices low so that the people can afford the power and stuff like that. We're selling them all to, guess who? Fracking Goldman Sachs. And that just happened yesterday with...
Wow.
And everybody's 70% of the country has said that they don't want it, and they just did it anyway. Yeah, also, we are now signed up to NATO. Now, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now, what part of the South Pacific is in the North Atlantic? Can I ask you?
The part that's being patrolled by the Coast Guard, I guess.
Yeah, well, now it is. And so this means that now NATO can send our troops anywhere that they want, okay? So we've now lost control of our military as well. Also, in a suburb called Glen Innes, there's a whole bunch of there's a big housing community there, and they're now ripping out all those houses that had previously had tenants in them for the last 50, 60 years, war veterans, and a well-established community, and they're ripping them all out. They passed these three different proposals, right? And they lied to everybody about what the proposals were. For example, if you went to a house refurbishment company, and you ask them to come and refurbish your house, what do you think that they would do to your house? You'd think that they'd fix it up, give you new wallpaper, or give a few new mod cons, right?
In this
particular instance, what they meant by refurbishment is kicking the tenant out and selling that house, like cutting it off its foundations, popping it on a truck, and selling it to someone somewhere else in the country. That's what they call refurbishment.
Oh, my God. And so then, people sign up for refurbishment, and that's what they get? Eviction? Yep. And they get...
Yep.
What the...
In 90 days as well.
This is so insane.
You tell me about it. So their entire community's fracked. The police have been more brutal to the people who've been protesting those removals than ever. They've got van loans of Chinese investors being driven down the streets as these people are being kicked out to eye up the land that they're planning to buy. So they're taking government land, and people who were staying in these houses, who had been promised these houses for the rest of their lives, mind you, that's how long ago they were built. We're talking about kicking out an 80-year-old World War II veteran kind of thing in order to sell it to some Chinese investors. And also, they've come in and bribed the pastors of the local churches and things of that nature, because a lot of the people in those communities are Pacific Islanders who are deeply religious and what have you, to tell their flocks not to resist any of these evictions. Okay, they literally bribed them with a 40% increase in their government funding and a... out of the 158 houses that are being removed, the churches and the local marae, who have also been bribed, as far as the information has been ascertained, will also get about 40 of those sections. And what happens with non-government organizations like churches and things like that, they'll get government funding. So what's going to happen is they'll get government funding, and then they'll run their charity programs through this. So they're doing it by being bribed in order to make money. And then once they've gotten all of that done, and once all those houses are removed, the government's just going to pull the rug out from them anyway and take all their and cut all their funding. And they've done this many, many times before in other places. Also, we've now started fracking in New Zealand, and it turns out that back in the day, and of course nobody in New Zealand knows anything about this because we're all a bunch of idiots, essentially. I have to really say that because I am the only New Zealander in the whole fracking country. We've got 4 million people living in New Zealand, 5 million Kiwis total worldwide, and I'm the only one in the whole world who has a radio show and a YouTube channel talking about all this New World Order stuff and fracking and blah, 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 blah. That is... I would be proud of myself, but I'm actually bloody ashamed of my entire country and because I'm alone to a degree. Yeah. You know, So we've got fracking going on now. It turns out they've been dumping it in our pristine streams and stuff like that. And that fracking operation was set up by Halliburton. And of course, here's the kicker. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has now been given a new Reserve Bank governor who is unelected and appointed by our Minister of Finance, Mr. Bill English, who's the partner of our Prime Minister, John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York for 2 years as the head of Merrill Lynch's foreign European bond and derivatives trading. Okay? They have just given a World Bank employee the governorship of the Reserve Bank. And they've also passed sweeping powers, which allow that Reserve Bank to control everything that left remaining in the economy. This has all been, everything that I've mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, has been done within the last 2 weeks to a month.
That's a real blitzkrieg, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you said about the kicking people out of their homes and then using the clergy to keep them quiet, that's a lot like what they did with in Louisiana with Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. Remember that they had people living in these homes for a long time. They said that they were flood damaged, but they weren't actually flood. A lot of them weren't flood damaged or not that badly damaged. They evicted everyone, then they wouldn't let them back in their homes. They put them up in FEMA trailers with toxic fumes, and then they... Well, refurbished those homes, but not for the original occupants. They then like sold them to other people, gentrified the area, and they also used clergy response teams to tell people to just go along with the program. They said, well, we'll just do this, and then we'll sort out our differences later. Of course, they never got the chance to sort those differences out.
So the clergy response teams are kind of like a Viper team? In fact, something clergy, something team, I don't know. Why don't we call them Cypher teams?
Well, this is like this is a strategy that's been used in America, and now look what you've got there, your Coast Guard. You become full-fledged corporatocracy, judging by everything you've told me. You got American-style corporatism, more like globalist, imperialist-style corporatism, New Zealand.
It's like we were a pie. Now, previously, the New World Order had a finger in this pie. Okay, now it's got its whole fist in there and it's ripping out the center of the pie. So basically you're just left with, what, a glorified donut? Where's the substance? We don't have any freedom anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem, with these international trade agreements, free trade, is that you lose your sovereignty. That's what happened in Europe with the European Commission, also that an individual country has the right to ban a product or something like that, except for the fact that the European Commission then has the right to overturn that. So you really don't have any rights.
You don't have any rights, okay? And I think this is the most important thing that I'd like to leave off with people as we finish up the show today, is that understand something. You're a slave, okay? If you don't think you're a slave, think about what's around your neck when you're wearing a dress shirt. That shirt's got a collar, doesn't it? And if you're wearing a nice suit jacket, what are around your wrists? Cuffs. And what's around your neck? A tie, like a leash. So you're walking around with a collar around your neck and a leash and cuffs around your wrists, thinking you're free. You're not. You are a slave, just like I am. The only difference is I know that I'm a slave and I'm fighting to become free. Other people falsely believe they're free and they fight to remain a slave.
Well, thanks for making that point and for bringing us the Blitz news and for coming on the show, Vinny. I really appreciate it. Everybody, make sure you check out the Vinny Eastwood Show on the AFR and also the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.
And coming up in about 2 hours. 2 hours from now, my show goes live, ladies and gentlemen. And who on earth have I got on the show today? It's I've got Mr. Guido talking about smart meters. That'll be good.
Great. Good. So check it out. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next week.